You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
You've listened to OneOfUs.net for years. Quality shows that have made you laugh and maybe even cry. But did you know they produce podcasts that you may not have even heard of? For just a few dollars a month, you have the opportunity to hear quality podcasts like The Breakfast Pub,
Clegane Bowl 2016, get hyped, motherfuckers!
The Original Gentleman.
I see this as an avenue to you becoming a huge chick magnet.
Oh, yeah.
And the Watch a Movie With Us series.
By the way, anybody thinking that his makeup is a little bit heavy here does not remember the 80s.
Oh, she's thinking about banking babies right now.
Oh, it turned into a phallic symbol.
Become a subscriber to OneOfUs.net and choose your level of giving from Red Shirt, Brown Coat, Time Lord, and Jedi. And know that your donation will help bring quality oral entertainment to you for years to come. Thank you. And may Cthulhu devour your house last.
Like, you know, your average American animated fare like Zootopia, fully acceptable fare. It's like going to get a solid sandwich at Thunderclouds. You're like, yeah, it's a good sandwich.
It's a fantastic sandwich.
But I don't remember it like a week later, really. It's really almost bizarre to see an American-produced film coming out that you're like, whoa, we just sat down for a whole five-course meal made by a master chef. That's something I'm going to be talking about next year. And that's what Laika's new Kubo and the Two Strings is, as compared to your average American animated fare.
Zootopia, okay, we're going to compare it to sandwiches, that's fine, is a fantastic sandwich. And Kubo and the Two Strings is equally as good.
I even said it was a solid sandwich.
It's a difference between solid and fantastic.
But, you know, there's a difference where you're dealing with, like, really good, like, stuff you eat every day, but you go, this is a really good one, and then something you're like, wow, you barely ever get this, and it's amazing.
Zootopia is the Subway meatball sub. It's the best thing on the menu.
Uh-huh.
But you're still at Subway. You've topped out.
I'm in the wrong room.
You've topped out on your upper limit.
Or you could say The Secret Life of Pets, which I know you didn't like, but a lot of people loved. That's
like a turkey melt.
No, that's like the bologna sandwich that you get at the Subway gas station.
Oh, my God, I'm so hungry right now.
But Kubo and the Two Strings is the latest from Laika.
The animation studio,
who
not
did
a person.
Coraline, Box Trolls, which I still think was robbed for Best Animated Feature.
No, it was okay.
It was all right.
It's beautiful looking, but...
So wrong.
Paranorman.
Paranorman, which is just a masterpiece.
Nobody
is playing at the level when it comes to stop motion that Laika is.
That part is consistently
redefine what it is that you can do with stop motion.
No,
and know the point where you have to drop in some CG, but so subtly done that you don't know it's CG. With this, they've made a film where you will legitimately sit there and go, I don't know how you do this with stop motion. You people are wizards.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't agree more, at least in terms of the way they do their visuals.
It's a great story. It is a beautiful story.
This one is.
Yeah. Oh, even though it is the hero's journey, basically.
Yeah, well, I mean, but
in
such,
Asian,
but such an form. Abstract and one we're not familiar with. I mean, I'm familiar with a lot of the sources it's from, and even so, this is expanding well past any recognizable single sources of mythology. Mm-hmm. It's a really original story that is definitely rooted in an Eastern feel, but at the same time has a kind of dream logic all the way through it, too.
Yeah.
You know, you feel like this could all be in the imagination of a young child, or Neil Gaiman, as the case may be.
Yeah. Well, if it was Neil Gaiman, it'd be really weird.
It feels really Neil Gaiman-y, actually, at points, I thought.
Yeah, I guess.
I think that's purely because Gaiman taps into a lot of less contemporary storytelling styles.
Yes.
Gaiman is not pioneering in that sense, but he is prepared to pioneer it at a time and champion those kind of storytelling at a time when nobody else is going to. And I think the thing is, you know, that's why Coraline was so attractive to Laika in the first place. They're like, this is the kind of story we want to tell.
Yeah.
That is a little bit more unconventional. That doesn't necessarily have a clear, like, simple hero. It's not simple heroics or a terribly flawed character who suddenly comes into his own. Kubo, in this, who is a young Japanese boy, the whole thing is he is already mystical from moment one.
Yeah.
You know that this is a boy with power. That you know, this opens with this incredible sequence of a woman in a tiny boat on the roughest of seas. And suddenly she takes out, I can never remember the name of it, the Japanese three-stringed instrument.
Yeah.
Plays one note and rips the ocean apart. And you go, oh, okay. One, that was incredibly beautiful.
I saw Jimmy Page do it live.
This is massive. Yeah, and then he refused to talk about Led Zeppelin and grumped a lot and wore a foolish hat. She is Kubo's mother, and he has this same ability to do magical things with his with the instrument. In his case, most particularly, it is to not only...
It's not a lute, is it?
No, I can never remember the name, but I'll remember in a second. It's not simply to use it to make origami, but to make the origami come to life, which is a wonderful meta moment.
Yeah.
Because basically he's doing live action stop motion animation within the plot. So it's like, and the fact that they do actually do that, those moments are not CG. This is stop motion origami, which is, you're just looking at this going, how do you do this?
Yeah.
How do you do this? But it's all in service of this greater plot that he's told by his mother you can never go out after dark, and he finds out the reason for this is that his grandfather is the Moon King,
yeah.
Who had his father killed because he seduced his got his daughter down from the moon.
Yeah, he knocked her up basically.
Yep,
yeah,
and yeah. He is angry at him and wants to steal his other eye. Oh yes, Kubo's already down an eye. We're basically straight into How to Train Your Dragon 2 territory here. It's like your hero has been mangled by the world since moment one, and that's a real difference maker.
And he has to deal with the fact that his mother is slowly losing her mind.
Yeah, she has dementia of some sort.
Yeah.
You know, she can't... Sometimes, moments, she might be very lucid, but then the next, she can't remember anything.
Or she can't even eat. She can't, like, help herself.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, wow, this started out really dark.
There's a lot of dark stuff going on in this film.
Yeah.
Altogether. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially the ending, which is really like... Wow, you went there.
Yeah, I appreciate that they did that, because they could have done that type of... It made sense. Yeah, exactly.
But, so he ends up being in a situation where he's forced to go on an adventure to save his very life as his grandfather becomes aware of him again.
His grandfather and his two terrifying aunts, voiced by Rooney Mara,
who are truly frightening.
Yes.
I mean, just yet another reason why I don't think Laika makes movies for kids. I don't think these are for kids at all.
I think they make them for kids who are gonna go, yep, that's my kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think this is why Laika actually does so well internationally.
Yeah.
I think, you know, because globally there is enough of a cadre of kids who go, nope, more gothic and dark and horrible and realistic to the... I mean, the fact that life is not... You know, there's not a simple ending. And it's not even like a Disney ending of like, do I go with one family or do I go with the other? Oh, no, I don't get to be a mermaid queen.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not that.
He looks so disappointed when he said that.
That was always my ambition.
Really connected with him on some level.
But, the life is not filled with simple decisions.
Yeah.
What really makes this is the fact that he's accompanied on his quest... by a beautifully animated pair of companions. Well, three companions. An origami samurai.
Yes. Who is basically their compass.
Yeah. A giant beetle samurai, voiced by Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, one of the standout performances in this.
Who
film.
Is it? Which I think the reason they cast him is the whole point is that the beetle may or may not have actually been a human samurai, but can't really remember much of his previous life. And they went, who does blissfully confused and possibly sounds like they've been whacked around the back of the head with a brick better than anybody else? McConaughey! Yeah. And he delivers, you know, these dopey lines with this wonderful brio.
But he's not incompetent.
No.
Like, that was the one thing I'm going to, like, oh, is he's going to be kind of like the dumb character throughout the movie? No, he's actually very charming.
In fact,
and
he's constantly surprised by how competent he is.
Yeah, he is.
He's like, I didn't know I could do that.
Yeah, he's just like, wow, that was cool. I did that.
And a monkey voiced by Charlize Theron.
Yes.
Who, you know, in a one of those beautiful little inner nods on the design actually looks like the monkey is constructed not out of fur, but out of chrysanthemums. The effect of how the fur is put together is like a chrysanthemum blossom. There's so many tiny little details.
That's such a Leica move to do something like that.
Yeah.
The way they do it's just all like the joy of their films and the look of it is in those tiny little things they put so much attention to.
Yeah,
just so gorgeous. I also should point out that Art Parkinson, who plays Rickon Stark on Game of Thrones, voices the main character of Kubo.
Ah. Oh, wow. He spoke here more than he ever did in
Game of Thrones. I know. Yeah.
And he ran Serpentine in this movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Good for him.
But they're on a quest to find three magical pieces of armor to help him be able to defeat his grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, it's just a series of basically trials for all extents and purposes as he starts to learn who he really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some of those moments are incredibly beautiful. I mean, not to go and spoil or anything, but just like how the monsters in this film look. It's like, it's so unsettling. Mm. Even as a cartoon, I'm like, I just love those particular segments. But the other thing I really want to just talk about is just the chemistry between all of the characters, particularly between Monkey and Beetle.
Yeah.
I mean, I just found it so charming. At first, they're kind of, they don't like each other, but then they grow to like each other, and then you find out more about them as the film goes on. It's just, honestly, it's
easy
just,
and witty and charming.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it just feels so natural.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, yeah, I know you guys are not the biggest Leica fans. For me, this is just a continuation of the fact that nobody is working at their level in animation.
Mm-hmm.
There are studios who will come in once in a while and do something that is really great. Disney and Pixar, you know, can come in and, you know, they have the leeway built in that they, you know, for everything they get truly right, they can throw out a Cars 2 or a
Finding Dory.
Or a Finding Dory.
I'm kidding.
Or The Good Dinosaur, which is okay.
Yeah.
And it's competently made, but it's not really killing anybody. Yeah, it's not really, you know, breaking anybody's
heart. It's going to your favorite junk food restaurant.
But Leica, for me, they're just a firm that is just so on a roll at the moment.
Yeah.
I don't think any studio is coming close to them. And this is a masterwork in a different way.
I mean,
and what I particularly loved about it was that I think if this had been told by, you know, this had been a Disney film,
mm-hmm.
Or a Pixar film or DreamWorks, I think they either would have gone, no, it's not all real, or they would have been played it much bigger and much more cartoony.
Yeah.
Whereas this is a straight-ahead epic, and it's actually more daring at the moment narratively to say, we're going to have a fantasy film where it is what it is. It's not covering something up. There's no trick. There's no narrative. Waha, here's the big reveal.
Yeah.
There's character development, and there's information you don't previously have that make you go, oh, right, that's what's happening. But it's not like there's some little, you know, there's no gimmick.
Yeah.
In the narrative. This is the story. And that is braver to do now. And I think for Leica to do that, I think it's just extraordinary.
I mean, I think they've gotten better with each film in terms of story. I think from the beginning, their visual sense has been amazing. Gorgeous. I just never felt like they could pull it together completely with story. For The Box Trolls, which is definitely the one before this I liked the best.
Eggs?
But even then was like, yeah, it's still not quite there.
Yeah.
Eggs?
This is, huh?
Eggs?
Eggs?
Eggs!
Is that a thing they say in the movie?
Eggs?
All right.
Jesus, go watch the Box Trolls again, you heathen.
Speaking all that British speak. Yeah. I don't remember. I can't understand what they're saying. I just go,
That was cute.
Yeah.
But this is by far the one where I feel like the script balances out the best, where they really got all the elements just right and turned to a story that is just as beautiful in terms of its storytelling as it is in terms of the visual acuity and inventiveness that all their films have always had. It's the one where it balances it, and there was very little of this that I can say didn't make me go, wow, I don't know how you just did that, you know, both in terms of story. I mean, there are things that, like, wouldn't work in another film where suddenly a character's like, oh, yeah, and by the way, I can fly. That wouldn't have worked somewhere else. Here it works because it's all this kind of, like I said earlier, it's got this beautiful kind of dream logic, this sort of the sense that you're watching a mythology unfold that really works. I mean, it doesn't feel like another animated film. It has which feel so much more self-contained. This feels almost like a bigger piece or a small piece of a much bigger something. You know, it does. It feels like a myth that already exists, even though, as far as I know, it doesn't. You know, it's got that kind of quality to it, and I fell for it completely. And I just, going into final thoughts there, everybody's so good in this thing. You guys are right. Charlize Theron and Matthew McConaughey mysteriously have amazing chemistry together.
Yeah.
Never would have seen that coming.
Hope they do a live action movie together.
By the way, we mentioned George Takei has a small role in here.
Yeah.
They mainly so they could have a sequence in the beginning, so he says, oh my.
Yeah, it's like, come on, really? he could be more than that. But sorry, continue on.
I really special attention to just how creepy both the monsters are that they fight, and especially Rooney Mara as those two sisters who are just so creepy. They're right out of God damn it, Richard. What's that classic Japanese ghost live action black and white film?
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Criterion Edition put it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah. It's like right out of something like that. You're like, oh my
Quite
God.
Quite
Yes.
Yeah.
So creepy. I think this is one of the best films this year, and I think this is, so far, nothing else animated this year has come out that's even close to the quality of this thing. Which is not a dig at Zootopia.
I'm not saying anything.
I'm just saying this is better.
And, to each his own.
I think this might be like a year for the best animated film. I give it 9.5 out of 10 huggable monkeys.
So I have a few things to criticize. It's not small things. It's, first of all, again, we saw this in 3D, and a significant portion of this movie are in the dark. And for me, it was very blurry.
Well, I'm actually going to say I will defend the film on that point because I clearly think the fucking bulb needed replacing.
Yeah, right from the
I'm going to blame the bulb.
From the beginning, I was like,
that's the bulb.
Not bright
enough. That was nowhere near bright enough. Said that yet. But yeah, I think we actually missed some details that they probably put in there. I'm blaming the bulb. But generally, yeah, I didn't think the 3D was going to add a huge amount anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would encourage people just to see this.
It wasn't necessary in 3D.
Yeah, yeah. I would just encourage people to see this in 2D. But like everyone has been saying, I think the voice cast is incredible. The animation is beautiful. For me, it's definitely one of my favorite movies of the year so far. Certainly, it's right neck and neck with Zootopia, which I think is an equally as good film, and with another with an equally. I think for me is that Zootopia had something to say. You know, it had a message. Whereas Kubo, where it's certainly beautiful, and it's telling this really fun kind of mythical story. It didn't really have that kind of message that hit home and go, wow, that was really powerful. And you managed to. Like, you can educate, children with Zootopia. Whereas with Kubo, you can certainly entertain them. You can certainly scare them. But it didn't have that message of where it's, like, just, like, for society in general. Which is why I connected with
I actually disagree
Zootopia.
With you, but I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
Zootopia was about talking about a message about our current world and our specific situation. Mm-hmm. Whereas this, it definitely has a message, but it's much more of a sort of abstract, philosophical, almost sort of Zen type thing.
Maybe
that
to say
discussing.
You're never alone, or that.
Yeah, and talking
about
the power of memories and family and stuff. I mean, I think that's definitely there and powerful. It's just not as pointed as the Zootopia one was.
Okay, yeah.
But
a Disney film hitting you over the head with a moral? But then,
well, I thought they handled it very well in Zootopia. But yeah, still, I mean, Kubo.
Well, better than Sausage Party.
Yeah, but we won't speak of that movie again. Yeah, I think this is definitely one of the best movies of the year. And for right now, I'd probably give it 9.5 out of 10 monkey figurines.
And now, Richard, with the final word. Should be a special show we give you and do the final word, Richard. Because he's going to have it anyway.
Yeah. Usually while screaming, I'll take you all. This is extraordinary filmmaking by a production house that I think is as bold as the hero that it portrays here. There is depth, there is nuance, there is... It is a truly fantastical world that we saw it in the standard press screening where they fill up the rest of the seats with the general population. And there were a lot of small children there and they were silent,
which was rare,
which never happens. And that means they were watching and they were just enjoying this incredible cinematic experience and this truly visually unique thing. Nobody's going to make a film that is a Kubo knockoff. You can't. This is a statement film, and yet at the same time, it never hits you over the head with that. And it does talk about, you know, how we define ourselves, what story means, which is an incredibly powerful question. And it does it so well and so beautifully and so lyrically and so subtly, and yet is funny and moving and has these incredible set pieces and incredible action sequences. This is, for me, the best movie of the year so far. Hmm. I don't think, yeah, and this has been there's been a lot of great stuff this year. But this just, you know, punched me straight in the heart from moment one and just kept me there. And I was expecting good work from Leica because, you know, I just think they're consistently the best studio. This fulfilled that and went far, far beyond. I have to give this 10 out of 10 perfectly tuned shamisen.
And that was the final word with Richard Whittaker. Anybody got something else to
bother with? Actually, I do want to say something. Okay.
No, you can't! It's been declared!
I think people should definitely watch the credits, because there's a beautiful 2D credit sequence as well.
Oh, yeah.
And also, as they did with Box Trolls, there is a wonderful moment where they show you how they did one of the most impressive sequences, and if you don't suddenly go, oh my god, I want to give up my life and become a stop-motion animator, you are broken in the heart.
I couldn't believe that was actually stop-motion animation. I was just like, that wasn't CG?
Nope.
Jesus Christ.
It took 1,000 hours just to do that entire sequence.
I'll even go so far as to say, and I can't believe I'm saying this, I really liked Regina Spektor's cover of While My Guitar Gently Weeps that they did over the end credits. Yeah. I was like, hey, that was surprisingly good.
There you go.
I have no heart left to it. My soul is gone.
Well, yeah, that's been true for years.